this morning. We're talking about God's provision, and as that song reflects and that song speaks to, in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our storms, in the midst of all of the things that comes in this life. You know, some of us like to talk about in spite of the hand that we're dealt, and in spite of the things that the world throws at us, but in the sense that anything that we face, any circumstance that we find in our lives, He is there. And when we are too weak to walk, when we are too weak to talk, even the Scripture tells us that when we're too weak to pray, that the Spirit of God intercedes, that the Spirit of God in groanings too amazing and too deep for words, that God provides intercession for us. The Bible even tells us in Hebrews that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us, that the provision of God, wow, is the very character of God. Today we're going to be talking about walking the path of provision, and we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and there's about 40 points to this sermon, so hang on. But we're going to read from Genesis chapter 22, the first 14 verses, and I'm going to begin reading from the New Revised Standard Version, from verse 1. After these things, after what came before, after the things that Abraham had experienced, after these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here. Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, father." And he said to him, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. And when they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and he took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." We're talking about a path of provision, and I want us to come to terms with something from the outset, that when we're talking about God, when we're talking about our Father, when we're talking about the Creator, when we're talking about the very God who sustains us, the very God who empowers us, the Spirit of God who dwells within us, that we're talking about a God with a character to give. We're talking about a God with a character to provide. throughout history has provided for his people. Over and over, we could rehearse over and over the times that God has intervened and he has provided. We can talk about that great cloud of witnesses that Pastor Tim even read about. I think it was either last week or the week before out of the book of Hebrews, that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. And if you read in that chapter in Hebrews, over and over we see rehearsed a people who were faced circumstances and tests and trials and tribulations. And over they walked in the provision of God. And even though they didn't realize and did not see the fulfillment of the promise of God, they trusted that promise of his provision. So when we talk about this path of provision, I don't know how many of you are hikers. I really enjoy a good long walk. And I enjoy hiking. I enjoy getting out into the woods. I enjoy on our property. We have a path that goes down to a pond. And it's downhill one way. It's uphill the other. And it's good exercise. And I enjoy that at this point, going and walking. I enjoy the paths that we can walk in our city, in our county. But my wife and I, when we were much younger than we are now, and didn't have as many children as we had, we spent a lot of time hiking and in the outdoors. And I've told this story before how we would often, well, I won't say we would often, I would often choose to strike out on a trail that was not marked. And how there was a time and when we were had struck out on a trail that was not marked, and we began walking, and we realized we didn't kind of have an idea of exactly where we were, but we knew where kind of the direction the trail was that was marked. And so we started up a hill toward that trail and toward that road. And before we knew it, we were in the midst of a hillside that, looking at it, was fallen leaves. It was just the prettiest sight, you know, in the fall, and you got the leaves that are colored above, and then the years of leaves that have fallen below. But hidden beneath those leaves was broken glass that over, it would have to be 40 and 50 years, people had dumped trash down this hillside and dumped glass bottles and things over this hillside, and it was covered by the leaves. And it took us a long and treacherous time to make our way up that path, sliding and cutting ourselves, and finally reaching the path that was marked. And when we talk about the path of provision, we talk about a path that when we look about it and we think about it, it is a path that is clearly marked out for us by God. That he has made provision for us, and he has made a promise of provision. Jesus spoke himself as he stood before his disciples and others and promised that even the provision of his presence, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. What a glorious truth and what a glorious promise we can walk in and understand that the provision even of his presence, that when we make a decision... I heard a song on my way into the church this morning, and one of the lines is, I will not be identified by my failures. But there are times in our lives when we have we've gone off that beaten path, we've gone off the marked way that God has set before us, and we have found ourselves in peril and in a treacherous place, and we have cried out, and God has rescued, and God has reached down and plucked us up and set us on a firm ground. You know, our world right now, and you know, if you've not been asleep for the past month or two or a few weeks, you know, our world is in a lot of ways on a treacherous path. And, you know, there are people that make decisions, and there are people who set guidelines and they set policies, and we're having to walk that marked path that our leaders have made for us. And the threat is, the treachery is that if we stray from that marked path, that there's a possibility not only of illness, but of death. And, you know, when we think about a path, and we think about the leadership of God, and we think about the path that he has trod before us, even as we refer back to that Hebrew scripture that Pastor Tim preached from, that Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who has gone before us and who has made our way, and that we are to keep our eyes on him, there is a clear and mighty and wonderful path that we can walk. It's a path of provision. It's a path of promise. It's a path of obedience. But I want us to just take a look at it from the many facets as we walk through the scripture again. We understand that this path of provision is a purposeful path. It's a path of purpose. That there's a decision to be made and that we have to choose to walk this path. We have to choose to follow the guidelines of God. We have to choose to follow God and to keep our eyes on Jesus, that author and perfecter of our faith, that we have to make a determination that there is a call of God on our life. And just as God called from the heavens to Abraham and said, Abraham, we have to on purpose say, here I am. That this is a path that we walk because we choose to walk it. It's not something that we accidentally stumble upon. It's not something that God forces us to do. But God has called and we have answered. God has said, here is the path I will follow. James, Russell, Tim, here I am, Lord. On purpose. It is a purposeful path. It's also a practical path. You know, it's interesting how so often we find ourselves when we think about the path that God lays before us. And no doubt that in the scriptures we see God intervene in miraculous ways. We see the description of Jesus. I'm reading through the Gospels right now. And the description and the stories of Jesus laying his hands on a leper who cried for cleansing. For laying his hands on a blind man who cried to receive his sight. And Jesus over and over made the statement when they said, please heal me, and he healed. He said, your faith has made you well. And he would send them on their way. But, you know, it's not often that this path is a miraculous path when it comes down to it. It's not often an unusual path. Think about how Abraham first responded to this command of God. God said, take your son and go. The scripture says, okay. The next morning, Abraham rose up early. He got the donkey. He got a couple of guys to go along with him. He cut the wood. He did the things that were necessary to fulfill what God was calling him to do. But they were very practical things. And over in our lives, in our day-to-day walk, the understanding is that if we're going to walk God's path of provision, we're going to be about the practical work of God. We're going to make the phone calls. We're going to make the visits. We're going to spend time in prayer. We're going to spend time in His Word. We're going to spend time sharing with our family and our loved ones. We're going to spend time sharing with our friends. We're going to spend time gathering as believers, that there's the practical walk and the practical path that God has called us to, and that is a path of His provision. But it's a practical one. It's a populated one. You know, if you notice that when it could have been very easy for Abraham to take his donkey, take Isaac, say, ride the donkey, carry the wood, and let's go. But for some reason, and again, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but Abraham chose to not walk this path alone. There was himself and the sacrifice at that point, which was Isaac. But there were two trusted men that Abraham said, you know, I want you to walk this path with me. I want you to go with me. I want you to walk alongside me and become a part in many ways of the provision of God. When, you know, sometimes we are surrounded by people who are on that same path as us. It's certainly true these days in the midst of the pandemic that there's something that the majority of the world, the majority of Americans, the majority of people who live in Baldwin County and in Milledgeville, we have something in common. It doesn't matter what our race is or our religion is or the many other things that we could list, but we all have in common that we are facing a common test at this time, and we are walking that same path. In many ways, this path of provision is just like that. Because if we're going to walk the path of provision, we're going to walk with those who are also walking. Do you understand? But you know, sometimes it's even a private path. I recognize in my own life, there are burdens that I carry that no one shares. There are thoughts and there are so many things in our lives that we, honestly, we may not even share with those who are closest to us. you know, Abraham reached a point in this path where he had to say to these men who he had trusted to go with him, stay here. There are times in our lives when we can't necessarily invite others along, when we have to just plainly face the test or face the trial that we are facing alone in a private way. But we understand that we are not alone because God's presence is with us. You notice that when Abraham took Isaac and they journeyed ahead to worship and to make sacrifice, that God's presence was there. There was no escaping him. There was no escaping it. We see later because God was watching. God was watching and ready to intervene. That even when it's a private, we may not be surrounded by believers or friends who can support us, we can trust that God sees and God knows and God provides. This path of provision, certainly it can be populated with others, but it could also be private. But then it's a path of petition. You notice what Isaac said. He says, Father. He says, here I am, my son. The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You know, we're going to have questions along the way. Amen? I mean, there have been so many times in my life when I've believed that God has been calling and God has been inviting me to join in his kingdom work in some way. And it may be that I don't see the provision of God. At that point, Isaac didn't see it. He didn't understand it. He had questions. He questioned his father. And we often can find ourselves before God. You know, recently I lost my father, my earthly father. And I can remember as my sister and I, who, you know, she lives here locally, were walking this path together, that things would happen and we would, you know, have questions. Well, goodness gracious, it seemed like that difficulties would come, but when we would look at it in hindsight, we would see that in a very practical way that God was providing. My father ended up in a hospital that's about 30 minutes from where we live, and we were like, goodness gracious, now, you know, that just makes it more difficult, you know, the travel and, you know, those other things. But, you know, at that particular place and at that particular time, it provided us the opportunity to visit him and to sit with him, and even with the permission of the authorities, to be able to sit with him overnight as he had lost consciousness and for the many last few days of his life was, you know, we took turns or we would be there and sit with him and, you know, even overnight to just be and assure him vocally and that we were there and that he was safe and that we loved him. But the questions can challenge. The questions on this path, when we don't see the provision of God or we don't fully understand what God is asking or what God is showing or what God is demonstrating, we ask like Isaac did, where is the lamb for the burnt offering, Father? Where is your provision? Where are you making a way? But then the answer comes. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And then just a beautiful statement. So the two of them walked on together. You know, Abraham found reason to rest in the hope that God, who had promised Isaac. You know, if you go back a few chapters, you see God visiting Abraham and Isaac through some angels who were passing by, and they promised him a son, and, you know, Abraham was like, good grief, I'm an old man. There's no way. The scripture tells us that Sarah was standing in the tent door listening, and she laughed. That's where Isaac got his name. It meant laughter. She couldn't see it. She couldn't understand it. She could never imagine it. But as the time came and time progressed, and it was over many years. In fact, if I remember right as I studied, that from the time the promise was made till the time that Isaac was born was many, many years, like 25 years. But ultimately, the promise was fulfilled, Abraham's hope and Abraham's confidence was in God. Abraham's confidence in this and rested in the hope of God's promise. And so it became this path of provision that God had made, this invitation that God had invited Abraham to go on this journey. The scripture declares it as a test. But ultimately, whether it's a test or not a test, when we're walking on this journey, it is a path. The path of provision is a path of peace, because we must trust that what God has told us and what God has said, when God tells us through the scriptures in Jesus, "I will never leave you or forsake you," we can't shake our fist at God and say, "Why have you left me all alone?" Because He hasn't. He is always there. He is always watching. He is always waiting. He is always seeing. He is always providing. And Abraham voiced that for us in this scripture. Isaac's question, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" Abraham turned and in peace and in confidence said, "God will provide the lamb." He was walking a path. Certainly, you know, could you imagine the turmoil that had to have been going on in the life of this man, as he knew that at the end of this path, the call of God on his life was to raise a knife and sacrifice his son and burn his flesh. But he still remained in peace and confidence with God. Then, this path of provision is a path of persistence. You notice what Abraham did. Verse 8, he says, "God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering." So they walked on, and the scripture says in verse 9, when they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built the altar there. Don't know how long it took. It could have been 5 minutes. It could have been 6 hours. It could have been 5 days. Who knows? But the scripture said that Abraham was committed, that he was going to fulfill, he was going to persist and persevere and pursue what God had called him. And so he built this altar. All the time, I can imagine the heart and the mind of a father as he built that altar. I have to think that there were times when he looked his son in the eye. He saw the continued questions in the eyes of his son, who had carried the wood for the burnt offering on his own back. And as he built the altar, and then as he assembled the wood, and the scripture says very pointedly, it says, he laid the wood in order. You know, it wasn't an angry man. It wasn't a man who, you know, I don't know about you, but there are times when I'll ask my children to do something. They'll do it. Put that away. They'll do it. But you go back later and you look at it, let's say, put those clothes away. You go back later, you open the drawer, and they just, you can tell that, you know, they didn't want to do it, so they just threw them in there, and sure, they did it, but they did it from a heart that really wasn't submissive, a heart that was angry, and they wanted to do this, or they wanted to do that. They didn't want to do what they were told, but the scripture reveals the persistence and the perseverance of the faith of Abraham. He put the wood in order. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. The detail. Sometimes we would say, don't sweat the details, but it's amazing in this passage. And there's so much here we could go into, but the detailed description of this man and the process and the trust as he continued to walk this path and trust God for his provision, then we understand that it's a path of promise. Because you see, all the time Abraham stood on the promise, "I will make you a nation. I will make you a great nation. And through you and your people, your family, I will bless the world." Abraham knew that the promise and the covenant of God, the promise that God had made of him, was one that if it was to be fulfilled, God must provide. And so he laid Isaac. He put his hand, went so far, and again, I just can't imagine, he went so far as to take up the knife. I've seen this acted out many times on stage and in movies. He takes up the knife and he raises his hand, and at that last moment, you know, to dramatize it, as you see Abraham is about to plunge the knife into his son, the scripture says the angel of the Lord called from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And there was a, this was a crowd full of people. We could all just sigh together. A sigh. Here I am. You notice, you remember how this journey, this path began. Abraham, here I am. At the end, when Abraham has walked this path of provision and Abraham has demonstrated his faith and his obedience as he raised the knife, God once again intervenes. Abraham, and here Abraham says, and I can imagine he got even more exuberant this time, "Here I am." Well, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. And we see demonstrated in a mighty way the love of a father, a heavenly father, who realizes that his promise was going to be fulfilled. A father who knew the heart and mind of Abraham and who had watched and walked alongside and observed Abraham as he walked this path of along with his, first of all, his quote unquote disciples, the men, and then as he walked and furthered the fulfillment of his purpose with his son Isaac. In spite of the questions, in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the, just the practical, very, you know, as a father, just think the very sad process of preparing the way to sacrifice his son. And you notice when, at the very beginning, when God spoke to Abraham, he said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love." Wow. I mean, God knew the heart and mind of Abraham, and he knew how much love he had for this boy that God had provided him. And the question then comes at the end, and in the midst of this persistence and peace that Abraham has declared, that he stood on the promise. God intervened and said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything for him." In verse 13, Abraham looked up. You know, who knows? Was the ram there all the time? Was it, you know, poof, out of the air? Or was this ram walking this path alongside Abraham? Or was this ram, not alongside Abraham, but just, you know, was wandering in the thicket? And at that moment, Abraham looked up. And the very statement of faith, God himself will provide the lamb. Abraham saw the fulfillment of that promise. And the scripture says that he took the ram and he offered it up as a burnt offering. And he called that place, "The Lord will provide." I look at my life and I look at you, your life, those who are sitting in the auditorium this morning and those of you who are watching, I plead with you that you understand that the path we walk. Now, ultimately, we have to understand that the path that I'm talking about is the path of the believer. It's not the path of the unbeliever. The unbeliever is on that, what Jesus describes as the great and wide path that leads to destruction. It's that path of peril that as human beings, because of the condition of our heart, we choose to reject the promise of God and we choose to reject the provision of God and we go our own way and it always ends in destruction. But we understand and we see at the end of this path of provision, at the end of the purpose of God, at the end of all things, and I'm going to spiritualize it here, that we understand that though this path will offer tests, though this path will come with pain, and though this path will come with suffering, that as we persist and we trust and we walk in peace, in that peace that guards our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus, that at the end of the time and at the end of the path, we will see God's complete provision. And we'll look back, like my sister and I have looked back and talked about in the days leading up to my father's passing. We saw the little things that that happened and the little things that seemed to be inconvenient, but ultimately when we look back, we see as a blessing that we can look back at our life and we can see, even as that scripture, that song that Russell sang so beautifully for us, that when the problems were big and the path was too treacherous and too hard, that when we are too weak and we can't even walk and we can't even talk, that God, even in those times, He carries us. He carries us through according to the richness of His mercy and the provision of the peace and the power of God through Jesus Christ and the Spirit who dwells within us, that we walk in a path of promise. So my challenge, and I'm trying to put into practice some things in my own life to encourage my own faith. Some confessions, kind of some positive confessions, if you want to put it that way. And one of those is that when I rise in the day, whether it's early or late, that one of the first things that comes off of my lips that I confess to myself in the morning is the very thing that Abraham named this place: today the Lord will provide. Today the Lord will provide. I don't know what this day is going to hold. I don't know what this Sunday afternoon is going to hold. This morning was honestly full of a lot of frustration. I left my house, realized I forgot something, had to turn around, went back and got it. Got three quarters of the way back to the church, realized I'd forgot something else. I said, forget it. I need to get to the church. We get here, some computer updates, bless them. Gave us all sorts of trial and tribulation to try to get the live stream up, and ultimately the live stream failed, so we're having to broadcast it as a recording. But you know, in the midst of all of that, we had some precious time of prayer here at the front with our brothers and sisters. We had some precious time of sharing as we prepared for the service. Just a wonderful presence of God on us as we ran through the music and we ran through the planning and thought about all that God, in spite of the trial and the frustration, God provided. And I will stand in that promise and stand in that on this path of provision, this path that God has invited us to walk on, this kingdom path, and on kingdom mission, that there is no day, there is no time, there is no minute or hour when we cannot trust the declaration, the Lord will provide. Amen and amen. The glorious thing is, and the glorious truth is, that even as demonstrated in Abraham's son Isaac, who bore the burden of the sacrifice on his own shoulders as he approached that place, the one and only son of Abraham whom he loved, you cannot help but think and consider the one and only son Jesus, loved by the Father, who bore the cross and bore the sin, bore as the song that Russell sang, bore the weight of the world on his shoulders, came to a place of sacrifice. And as his Father looked on, he was beaten, he was scourged, there were thorns pressed in on his brow, there were nails driven into his hands, into his feet, and as his blood was shed for you and for me, the path of provision for our salvation was laid. As the worship team comes and prepares to play, they're going to sing Glorious Day. I want you guys just to come and begin playing that. And I want to invite you. God is calling, just as He called from heaven and said, Abraham,
And Abraham said, here I am. This morning, this day, whenever it is that you're watching, the Lord is calling your name. It's a voice of invitation. It's a voice of love. It's a voice of provision that is saying, James, here I am. Here I am. God has provided all things necessary, the scripture says, for life and for godliness. And that's all wrapped up in the gift of salvation that God provided through the death and the resurrection of his son Jesus. And then as he poured out his spirit upon the earth and into the hearts of believers, those who say, here I am, and who believe and begin to walk that path of provision that God initiates. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say. God has done the work and he has finished the work. And he is inviting you today. Will you come? Will you come and link arms with, and it doesn't have to be Freedom Church. Will you come and link arms with some brothers and sisters and walk this path of provision together? God's inviting. Will you come?